You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I bought a gun today. A sleek and terrifyingly simple instrument. The nervous, pus-riven creature selling me the instrument glanced at me with every opportunity, trying to carve my face into his mind. If I turned up in tomorrow's paper, he would be quick to the phone, eager to trade blood for gold. His pubescent face would cover the airwaves as he retold the tale of coming face to face with the true monster. Those who fed on the carrion of gossip would ask over and over again if I seemed evil when I entered the store, to which the brave witness would apathetically agree. My life would be picked clean by editorial claws, searching for any morsel to prove and reveal in my villainy. This morning, the world was simple. Now, the world was fractured, fragmented and frayed. I stowed the bag in my car, slipped in and headed home. I passed other cars, turning my head to look inside, each wondrous capsule holding someone eager to get home. It must be nice, I sighed. I'd rather go anywhere than home. It's getting dark now. The last splashes of afternoon fire in the horizon beyond my temple to a life lived normal. I climbed the stairs to the door, black bag clanking against my hip, metal and shell jumbling in the bag. I swung the door in slowly. Maybe they'll still be here. But they're not. They're gone. I climbed the stairs, checked one bedroom, second than mine. Same thing. Beds perfectly made, empty. It was a funny thing how such a beautifully made home could cause such discomfort. I descended back down the stairs and collapsed into my armchair. My chair. I guess they're all mine now. I stood on unsteady feet only to walk 3 steps to the cabinet. I took a bottle. It must have been 10 or 15 years since I'd gotten it. A lifetime ago, when life was different. Life was better. Life was better then. I sat back, opening the bottle and clamping my lips around it. The burning, soothing medicine slipped down my throat, warming my belly. I opened the bag, taking my new purchase out, and with it a handful of shells. My hands on cold steel, turning the beast over in my hands. Chilling silver steel, wide grain stock. I drew on the bottle harder, downing more emboldening heat. I needed bravery for what was next. I slid one shell into the breech, racking the gun slowly, the metallic clicks and cranks the only sound in the room. I look up and around at the smiling faces on the walls. Strangers. Strangers, all. One final long draw of medicine. Bottle moved to my side, then slipped from my fingers to the floor. It rolled away slowly and poured out onto the carpet, the stench clinging in the air. I feel the cold barrel slide under my chin. My fingers trace the lines of the beast. The cold steel should make me shiver, but the liquor holds my nerve. Moving towards the trigger, my eyes drift along the floor, to the wall, and up. I start to pray in my mind, I'd never been religious. Perhaps it was appropriate at a time like this. My thumb touches the trigger. It's cold and stiff. My thumb tenses as my eyes scanned the pictures. I could see in my mind what would come next. Metal slug erupting through my jaw, force of the beast blowing my head off. Blood, skull, and pink brain matter dripping down the smiling faces of old loved ones. The stench of death would dominate this place until some poor soul would find me. My eyes stopped, and so did my thumb. It tittered, verging on release. My eyes caught an old photo, so old and so long ago. I was so very young. My dad was there. His dad, too. Standing in the wilderness. Guns, vests, and vacant stares. We were out there for days or nights. It was hard to tell. Suddenly, I was standing, staring at the photo. I dropped the gun, transfixed. Suddenly, in my mind, there was only one final task. Only one thing to do here at the end of all things. I bagged the gun and picked up the bottle. I stuffed a cloth into its neck. As I left the still mausoleum, I tossed the lit bottle over my shoulder into the gaping doorway. The shattering of glass is the only sound in the quiet suburban eve. I sling myself into the car, and for a moment I just sit and watch. The flames grew, licking the edges of the building, curling up into the night. The amber glow bathed everything as the fire consumed the skeleton of a once cherished family home. I felt a cold wash over me, watching the fire consume the ghosts of the past, cleansing every misstep, every mistake. If only it were so easy. The flames washed first steps and Kodak moments. Cake and champagne, pain and unrelenting disappointment. The lights and the dark, let it be consigned to flame. Let it be ash. Streetlights pounded down on the road, barring out the stars. I scanned the streets, my eyes drifting through front windows. Slices of life as it should be. Families eating and families living. The guilt settled in my soul and sat heavy. I clenched the steering wheel, eyes moving to the road. I moved through the belly of the town, places of work, centuries of life, each place someone's whole life as I pass. Restaurants where people found and lost love, sidewalks that guided the path of people who had just lost their livelihood, gyms that held the hopeful and the downright delusional. Thousands of lives entwining to the town like an immense spider's web. My thread moved through this living cavalcade to its final destination, all connections severed. I pulled to a stop at an intersection in the heart of town. I glanced to the side as I see someone pull up beside me, the navy blue shining badges. No doubt hands on guns, clenched muscles, sweating brows. Holsters snapping open. Slowly drawing pistols. I stared, their faces illuminated by the flashing innards of the car. I could have avoided the long car road ahead if my hand just slipped a little further to grasp that wide grain stock. If I just lift the beast up to the window, all of my problems would slip away. My past would be just that. Past. If I did pull the weapon, and take the easy way out. I wonder if I would ever rate a mention when their families ask how work was. Would they say they'd killed some scumbag, some shell put out of its misery? Would they just nod, say it was work as usual, and sleep soundly as I lay on a cold slab somewhere in the dark? I looked forward to the empty town center, then back. The gaze of the paragons of virtue glued on me. Maybe they sensed the possibility of ill intent. Maybe they knew I burned away the past. Maybe they know where I'm going, and have come to deliver me from that trial. a final kindness delivered to a suffering animal. The seconds dragged on. With each one that passed, I convinced myself more and more I should make a move. It wouldn't have changed anything. I saw the spider-webbing windshield in my mind's eye while their bullets pierced my body. But maybe if I passed with a weapon in my hand, I'd be granted passage into the afterlife. Yet, when the blue and red lights burst into the intersection, the two just moved off away. Beneath the flashing lights of the intersection, I had truly begun to move beyond the sight of the living. I lingered in the intersection after the police had left, hands 10 and 2, staring straight ahead. Green lights reflected off my dash. When I saw lights flashing in my mirror, I left off, starting back on my way. The black serpent stretched way out before me as I passed through the fringes of the town. The warm, nurturing womb of the town center slipping away as the trees got larger. The dark shadows grew, and the lights dwindled. Soon, I was completely alone in the dark, driving through the overstretching trees. No houses, no landmarks, no lights but mine. Eventually, the trees above gave way, and the canopy of stars covered my sky. I could see more stars than I ever could in town. I could see forever. I followed the stars until the angry smears of dawn peaked over the horizon. As the morning lights covered the land, I came back into a town, one whose bare threads of memory taunted me, but I couldn't grasp them. I pulled out a large building which promised dominance of nature with smiling youths and placid wilds. The reality that lived in this place was one that denied the world as it truly was. It portrayed a docile and neat trial through a gentle forest on a Saturday afternoon. In reality, the wild I traveled to was one that hungered for the blood of men, and its hunger was boundless. The fluorescent lights and its manufactured smell made me wince. I bowed my head as I walked, avoiding eye contact, my mind utterly consumed, digging through my memory. I rolled my cart down the aisle, taking every mass-produced, standardized product I can that brings the convenience and comfort of life into the places life began. I glanced around as I halted. I see people enjoying their life, going places, on phones, making plans. I couldn't see past tonight. The darkness falls, the sun flees, and my sight ends. I stood with my cart in front of a lithe young creature, bagging my goods. My head cocks ever so slightly. I wondered how different our perspectives must be. Here I am making a final pilgrimage, the creature with infinite possibility, a future like a river delta. I left the store. The sun beat down brightly on my face. I savor the warmth. I savor the smell of the sun slowly baking the sidewalks. I walked slowly back to my car, looking about, etching the machinations of man in my mind. I packed the car, deliberately. There was a voice beside me. A probing and annoying sound pierced the amniotic sac of my penance. I looked over and a man was looking at me. Permanent smile on his face. Family in the car. I couldn't find any words. Couldn't respond. I just stared. But was I looking into the past? How much have I looked? A disheveled, hungover husk, half in the boot. I glanced again at his family, then to the man. Perfect smile carved into his young face. He was slim and athletic in his jumper. My hand subconsciously rubbed my extra few slightly. He looked happy, genuinely. So did his family. They looked as though they'd stepped out of a picture frame. I wonder where they'd come from, where they're going. Would he be here in 30 years? Would they? All the bright moments that would come, all the shadows that laid in wait. So many ways to end up where I was. so few to avoid it. The man broke off, shaking his head, climbing back into his car, his children gawking at the stranger as they peeled away. I watched them go, climbing back into my car and continued my journey down the asphalt River Styx. Houses flanked the streets, each one same as the last. The white fences, clean lawns, new cars, and fresh lives. The suburbs seemed to stretch on forever. Regular, clear streets, kept lawns. People stopped and waved as I passed. I couldn't help but just stare. The hours didn't thin out so much as the towering ancient trees just started. There seems to be a line that nature just couldn't cross, or perhaps there were bastions of nature that man just couldn't breach. The road turned to dirt, then to snowy mud. The arching trees reached down to the road. The ancient, thick-barking trees blocked the sky and anything to the sides. After what seemed like hours of driving, snow began to fall on the car in earnest. When the trees finally thinned to the point I could see some of the wilderness beyond, I pulled off the track into a clearing. The clearing became my womb to the modern world. I set everything up and waited, car behind my setup and the path a little past that. The snow seems to fall harder here, and ever-thickening blankets that blotted out all colors of nature. I took the gun from the car, sitting on my chair. I fed shells into the weapon, the metallic clicking the only sound. No birds, no animals, just me. Cloaking sound and cloaking time. I couldn't see much from my modern throne, just a large plain through the trees and a darker forest beyond. Hours seemed to pass, and nothing, no signs. There was disappointment in my heart, but beneath that, in the depths, lay a kernel of shame. Not only shame, but unworth. I had sought the task and had been deemed unworthy to even fail. Snow fell on me, veiling my emptiness, ushering me into the earth. I felt cold in my bones. No, not cold. Dead. The snow and this place were robbing me of any resolve I had. Being judged unworthy of the white wilderness would consume me as it waited for those who were. Still, the sun clung just above the horizon behind the dark forest beyond. Surely it had been hours now, and night would come at any time. But maybe I had been deemed unworthy of that too. The mementos to modern comfort scattered about me, the hideous blue tent standing offensively against the snow. It began to annoy me, scratching at the edges of my mind. I tried to ignore the thoughts. Without these items, there is no way I would survive in this hostile, ancient environment. Where it scratched before, it tore now. Where I had been annoyed, I was now furious. I was not deemed unworthy by constitution. I was unworthy through action. I stood, brushing the burden of fallen snow onto the ground. I took up my gun and tucked a knife into my belt. I took the tent down, packing up all of the comfort, all of the weakness. I gathered the things into my arms and started to move them towards the car. I threw all the things I had bought into the car, tossed carelessly. I know I won't be back. Slamming the door hard, the snow shook off, the black standing out against the wilderness. Still, the feeling of shame persisted. It hung on my mind like a pulsing cloud, robbing me of strength, robbing me of my strength. Opening the car again, I took out the oil and turned on the portable cooker, my vain attempt to drag my modern life into this place. Dousing the innards of the car, I lit the seat. I took my gun back into my hands and walked away. I passed the edges of the clearing towards the great plain, a titanic, fiery roar obliterating the silence, casting the cloud from my mind. I turned back as I entered the plain, Orange and red flame tops the trees where I had camped. Hot flames consumed the dry old trees and grew at my back. The task would judge me, or it would not be at all. I continued across the plain, the sun half setting behind the woods. As I reached those woods, even more ancient, I was struck by a feeling of dread, of deep and terrible dread. I started to carry the gun with both hands, racking the slide. The trees were sparse. I could see a good way as I continued into the depths. Boots crunching in the snow reminded me of crunching bones, treading down those who had come before who had failed, damned to remain, as an example or as a mercy. I wonder who else had been this way. How many have started this journey, and how many saw the end? In my musing, I hardly noticed the second score of crunching, some way away, but closing. I brought the wide grain butt of my gun to my shoulder, my breath ragged. I shouldered the nearest tree and peeked around the trunk. A wolf, lone and ferocious, stalked between the trees. Hard, muscular body easily visible under the cloak of white fur. It was hard to see against the snow. I hid, breathing hard. My heart smashed against my ribs, paralyzing me. I looked again, and the wolf had stalked towards me. It might not have seen me, but it knew exactly where I was. It would surely open my throat, my blood fanning across the silent landscape. My bones buried under the fallen snow to be trodden by those who come after. I see it over and over in my mind, sharp claws burying into my chest, teeth clamping onto my face, my screams echoing off of the trees. I realized as the chilling fangs of fear locked into my heart that the task was already consuming my soul. Every lashing of fear, every expression of weakness, a delicacy to the starved beast. I pushed myself off the tree and pivoted around the trunk, bringing the gun up. Immediately, the wolf began to run, a fast, ear-piercing roar almost knocking me back. The sound was of something older, something forgotten. The sound shook me and shook my aim. I squeezed the trigger as the wolf leapt. The pellets hit the wolf off-center. The body hit me, claws out, down gushing from my coat as I was thrown to the ground hard. I laid in the snow, trying to force air into my lungs, chest heaving. Sounds, raspy and manic, came from over my shoulder. No doubt the wolf survived the first shot. I stood on unsteady legs, the perfect white snow stained with black blood, culminating on the wounded beast feet away from where I'd fallen. I raised the gun again as the wolf stirred, fighting its way to its feet. I pulled the trigger, and there was a loud click. The wolf looked up at me as I frantically racked the slide. This time when it leapt, I shot and hit the wolf straight on. Black blood and viscera sprayed over the snow, steaming as the wolf slumped to the ground. I looked back through the trees to the forest where I'd started. Fire had fed on all the trees where my camp had been. A complete wall of flame. There was no way back. Slinging the gun over my shoulder, I continued through the trees, leaving the wolf to be devoured by the wilderness. The task was complete. I didn't feel any different. I still felt marked. The sun had just fallen beneath the horizon, casting light weakly into the area. I could see, but pools of shadow grew, reaching from my feet as I passed. The ground started to slope upwards when I heard it, that beastly scream. The sound reached into my chest and started my heart thundering. I froze. Pure, undulating fear seeped into my mind. I racked the gun, leaning against the nearest tree, waiting for the beast. Each scream from the beast shook my resolve. Soon, all I could think of was teeth and claws and pain. My gun tracked my eyes as I scanned the tree line. Then, there, One giant claw emerged from a pool of shadow, then another. A great bear emerging from the dark of the forest. Its face and side were spotted and partially hairless. It was unmistakably the same beast. A cold grip of fear seized me. My mind reeled at the sheer impossibility of what I saw. It was the same monster, but it had shed its weaker form. Fear gave way to a wave of emotion. Fire of unquenchable anger boiled in my blood. I had completed the trial. I was worthy. I am worthy. I pushed away from the tree and began towards the bear, snow crunching loudly under my feet. I let loose my own cry, letting my pained hollow bounce off the trees. The sound echoed from my lungs, a slurry of pain and rage. Every bad memory, every mistake, hatred and indignant fury flooded my body. I came within 12 feet of the beast as it reared up. Raising my weapon in one slick movement, I fired into the beast's heart. The sound the beast made was raised from my nightmares. It shook my ribs and my sanity. I felt hot liquid on my cheeks as the wounded monster charged towards me. I racked the gun quickly and fired from the hip, hitting the bear in the face, its man-impaling claws shredding my coat. I felt the cold bite of the wilderness on my lower back inside. The beast collided with the tree, and a torrent of snow fell onto it, making its brown coat bone white. The oppressive silence of the landscape broken by our battle. I turned and started to run hard through the trees, taking advantage of the downed beast. I felt sweat running down my back and face as I fled, my lungs burning. Years of sedimentary opulence caught up with me in seconds. I glanced back. Was that a shape in the dark? I wondered for a second too long, and when I looked back, I charged straight into a tree. I can't remember running or hitting the tree. I just stared up through the canopy, into the darkening velvet sky, snow falling from the sky onto my aching face. I felt the cold flakes falling onto my head wound, mixing with my blood. I felt this place seeping into my body through the cuts and gashes. I was becoming less and less human as time went on. The snow gathered around me and fell on my prostrate form. I could have stayed there, and maybe the beast wouldn't notice me. Warm blood ran down my face from the large gash on my forehead. I gingerly got to my feet, using my gun as a crutch. I was dizzy, uncoordinated. I felt shaken. I brushed myself off and turned around. There wasn't a clear image in my mind, just a blur sweeping me off my feet. Strong predator teeth entered my shoulder. Strong, sharp claws pierced my back. Pain clenched my mind into a vice grip. I'd never felt such an immense and all-consuming pain. I cried out, and my entire body tensed in shock and agony. The bear easily carried me off my feet. My vision blurred. We moved up, and then suddenly, we were falling. A rock ledge entered my sight as I hit the ground. My diaphragm spasmed, and I tasted blood in my mouth. I managed to get onto my hands and knees, blood pouring from my mouth and head wound to the ground, steam rising in the low light. Blood stuck my clothes to my skin. Every moment made my head spin and my body ache. I suddenly remembered the bear, looking around for the beast. I didn't have to look for long. The beast had fallen onto a cluster of sharp rocks. One had even driven itself so far into the monster that it had gone through the beast's torso. The sharp point standing proudly from the carcass, like a mighty battle standard. It was still alive. The pained whimpers and tiny movements confirmed as much. The beast is strong, impossibly strong. Eternal monstrosity fueled by enduring purpose. I approached it, unsheathing my virgin knife. If the monster was strong, then I must also be strong. I moved the beast's head. It snapped at me limply, gnashing teeth to no real effect. The leather hilt of my knife gripped perfectly in my gloves. I looked at the almost flawless mirror blade with a fascination before I drove the blade into the creature's neck. Black blood misted out over my body and gushed onto the snow below. I sheathed the blade in the bear's chest, cupping my hands under the open wound. The bear's blood was hot, even through my gloves. I ignored it and immediately brought my cupped hands to my mouth, drinking deeply. The heat building inside me. I feel much better. When I feel full, I stand up, taking my knife from the beast. I stand there with the beast, just the two of us here, alone. Our eyes meet. I search the eyes of the beast for some reason, something that connected us. Hate, anger, thought, anything. There was nothing to be found in its eyes, nothing at all. It was as if I'd been fighting the earth or the trees. I leaned closer, searching for anything, my soul aching to not be alone in this white wilderness. As I lean, the dark enveloped all. I shot up, heart pounding. The trial continued. Darkness consumed us. In the inky blackness, I heard pained, tortured screams. The sound of sickening bones snapping and reshaping, popping and squelching. The faint light from the moon painted the trees. I took off, quickly, furiously. The screaming is almost constant now. I can see the mangled beast in my mind driving itself from the spikes. My body begged me to stop, the collage of wounds extracting a heavy toll on my body. Each step jolted my body with fresh hell. Footsteps of thunder boomed, a great beast smashing through the trees. I ran fast and hard, a maelstrom chasing me through the woods. Snapping wood, falling snow, a cacophony of sounds chasing me. All of a sudden, the sound stopped. The footsteps, the crashing. Dead silence falls in the woods. I slowed to a walk and then stopped altogether. I turned, racking my gun. I held it across my body with both hands, waiting for a sign. My eyes barely adjusted to the dark. A large, clawed hand shot from the dark to carve my chest open. It would have done so if not for my gun. I stood agape, holding two pieces of my gun, shotgun pellets patterned in the snow carpet. The useless halves of my weapon falling from my shaking hand. The attack played over and over in my mind, the claw and its incredible speed. I just fled. There was no victory to be won against a beast like that, a monster sculpted from our deepest nightmares. The long arm searching in my mind. What was it? What has it become? I whipped my head around to see two glowing eyes. Four. Eight. Surely not. I tried to count the footfalls as I sprinted through the woods, but to no avail. It was too numerous to make any sense. The woods had taken on their own life. I felt the branches reaching down for me as I ran, powered by the beast's blood. I heard a clawed hand pass through the air just over my shoulder, striking a tree just past me so hard it fell with one blow. Fear fueled me now. The land inclined hard. My legs burned and begged for relief, but I pressed on. I only hoped that the incline slowed the monster as well. Just as I thought the beast was lagging behind, I felt a hard strike on my back. The claw easily opened my soft skin. Adrenaline coursed through my system. I staggered, but pressed on. I felt the ground level out and harden, from snow to snow-covered rock. I ran a little further and collapsed. No more. I failed the trial. I will receive my punishment. I fell to my knees and just turned around, sitting on the stone as I awaited my executioner. The eyes were the first to appear over the rise, multiple, moving and swirling around the beast. I couldn't make out the body, but I could hear the swishing of its claws and the scratching of its talons on the stone. The moon only illuminated part of it, and my mind couldn't piece together what I was seeing. That didn't matter. There was no one to tell. There was nothing to do and nothing to be done. I let my head roll back, awaiting the final strike. Lights poured over me. The blow had fallen. Immediate, painless. Simply plucked from this mortal coil by clawed hand. But then, a sound. A loud, mechanical blare. A roar. No, a horn. I looked up weakly in time to see my pursuer struck by a leviathanic truck. There was no sound, only the crunching of flesh under tire and the shrieking of brakes. The pain overwhelmed me, and I slipped from consciousness. While I teetered between life and death, all I could see was the white wilderness. The flames, the wolf, the bear, the thing. Was I finally worthy? Did I complete the trial? Or was I one with the snow? Electrical beeping guided me back into the flood of consciousness. My eyes eventually opened, and there's a blank, bare hospital room. But not bare. People. My family. More than that, more people. Some with notepads and cameras, electric eyes eager to gaze upon me. What happened? The way my family told it, they came back home to check on me after neighbors reported fire. A call went out to find me. Police had an old picture of me when I still looked like a young man, so in the dark, and as an older man, they couldn't put it together. The man at the wilderness store mentions to me I looked familiar, asking if everything was all right. When the call came in about a heavily injured man fleeing a bear across a highway, my family knew it was me. With such a remarkable story, every newscaster wanted to pay for interviews, and every publisher and studio wanted rights to my trial. But that was all nonsense. I had been marked worthy by the trial, and these were the rewards for completion. Except, I wasn't worthy. I'm not meant to be here. The final challenge bested me. I fled like a coward. I wanted to scream, to yell. All I could do in my weakened state was weep. My children hugged me. So did their mother. I am unworthy. I wanted to scream. Pull out my leads and let me become part of the snow. So many souls trapped there. I should be there. But I've been marked as worthy now. Had the presence compelled my family back? Maybe this is defeat. The unworthy being unjustly praised. Bestowed with boons most undeserved. The harshest punishment for the greatest hubris. Days passed as I was consumed with questions. No matter how insane I sounded, my family stood by me. People wouldn't stop me or lock me up. I drank heavily to numb my guilt, but no poison would inebriate me. My body healed in days, not weeks, and all of the excess weight, all of the damage I had done to my body and my self-destructive cycle was erased. I got into my bath at home and submerged myself, trying, needing to find release. No matter how long I stayed under, I wouldn't drown. I dropped our toaster into the bath with me. The house blacked out. When the lights returned, I was unharmed. Worst of all was my family. Whatever I said, whatever I did, they stood by me. I recounted to them my entire story, every detail, and they nodded and accepted it as truth. I told my family terrible things, and it made them love me more. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to be done. Almost nothing. I bought a gun today.